driving me a ball. Cause I got a good feeling and I don't feel no pain at all. Right in my day.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the program. Mike Malloy here on Novem Radio. How you doing? Huh? Have a good day? As promised, we have two separate goodbyes from Bush, or to Bush, tonight. Took a long time for this criminal to try to destroy America. It'll take a long time to review the damage. That's the reason for two parts. One of the segments is on his foreign policy disasters, and the other one covers everything else. Don't ask me how she did it, but Kathy put these together. So when are we going to do it? Bottom of the second hour, bottom of the third hour? Okay, we'll do that. And they're about 12 minutes long each, so whoa. Weird stuff today, huh? Weird stuff. I spent some part of the day watching cable news reports, and I'm having trouble with this. Let me get this straight. Bush and Cheney. Now, I'm not trying to be coy here. I really am trying to get this straight. I understand about the whorishness, no offense to sex workers, of mainstream media, but the story now seems to be this. Bush and Cheney sent hundreds of people to a torture prison, the one in Guantanamo, another one scattered all over the planet. Some of these people for as long as 7 years. Bush and Cheney denied them their rights, turned them into classic Soviet-style non-persons, allowed them to have all this time to become focused on one thing that they will focus on for the rest of their lives, and that is revenge, blood revenge. As I would, as you probably would, to be locked up like this, charged with nothing, held with no legal representation, the demeaning treatment, the torture treatment, I would spend my 6 or 7 years in Guantanamo. The only thing that would keep me alive would be a deep and abiding hatred that would be nurtured and fed every single day. And no matter what it took for me to survive and get out, I would, unless they killed me, I would try to find a way to do that. And once I was out, I would spend the rest of my life trying to find a way to get vengeance. But that's just me. So, in my opinion, that's what happens to the people who were scooped up, wherever they were scooped up, some of them in Europe, some of them in South Asia, some of them in Central Asia, labeled as non-combatants, labeled as terrorists, labeled as whatever the Bush bastards decided to label them, keep them in prison, torture them, deny them everything while they build up this vast reservoir of hatred and revenge. Along comes a new president, in this case Barack Obama, who decides that the nation's moral center is at least as important as Bush's phony war on terror. So, he changes the rules for interrogation, orders torture ended, sets in motion the operation necessary to close the most well-known torture facility, and insists that we return to the rule of law as best we can after Bush. And frankly, I don't know that we ever will be able to. That's how deep the damage. So, then what to do with the hundreds of people that we locked up for years with no charges, the people we tortured, the people we beat, the people we humiliated, you know, all these people who truly are Bush's legacy. This is the real legacy of the Bush administration. Hundreds of people that have flowed through our torture camps, our gulags, that have been beaten, humiliated, tortured, denied even basic representation and human rights. And of the 750 that have gone through there, Guantanamo only. We don't know about the rest of these so-called black sites around the planet. Of the 750, there's still about 250 there. Where are the other 500? Well, five of them we murdered while we had them in our custody. Murdered them. No. Not a heart attack, not a stroke. We murdered them. Okay, so where are the rest? Back with their families? Back in their home countries? Where are they? Someplace. Nurturing a kind of a revenge attitude, a hatred attitude, that you and I would stand in awe of. So what do we do with the hundreds of people we tortured? The ones that are still in our custody. Republicans say that releasing these people or moving them here for trial will result in further attacks on the U.S., and of course it will be Obama's fault. You see the scenario these bastards are already building. It's going to be Obama's fault because he decided to give them fair trials, or he decided to release them, even though it was a federal mediator, judge in the Bush crime family who a couple of weeks ago said, look, you're going to have to the one so-called I'm not going to call him a terrorist because he's never been charged with anything, the detainee. She said you have to release him because he's been tortured. It doesn't make any difference what Bush and Cheney did already. You see, this filthy mainstream media, CNN, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, already these bastards are starting in. It's Obama's fault. Obama might release people like Timothy McVeigh, maybe, who would go berserk. After the torture and the pain and the suffering that the Bush crime family put these people through. So there have been there's one instance that I've heard reported all over the place today of somebody that was released a couple of years ago from Guantanamo and is now actively working with Al-Qaeda. How they get this information, who knows? But this now is becoming the poster boy for Barack Obama's misguided policy. You see how this works? Barack Obama's misguided policy. I don't care if it's Barack Obama or Joe Blow. Here's somebody who is trying to restore something that might resemble what we were regarding our laws and our respect for international treaties before Bush and Cheney and the Republicans came in and corrupted it all and put all of us in extreme danger. We've talked about this on this program, and not just here. Other people have talked about it in the progressive media. How at the degree to which we are at extreme danger now because of the Bush-Cheney policies. So it's going to be Obama's fault. You see this theme already developing, don't you, truth seekers? Huh? The media pick up that theme and start driving it into the subconscious of their brain-dead viewers, and attempt to drive it into the subconscious of all of us, even those of us who have learned how to defend ourselves against this kind of media garbage. David Gregory. I watched him tonight on Brian Williams' little toy news program. David Gregory, who replaced the sainted Tim Russert on Meet the Press, led the media attack tonight. Campbell Brown the other day, the Wall Street Journal, insinuating that Obama is putting the entire country at risk because he's reestablishing the rule of law. And it will never be the way it was. We crossed a point of no return with the Bush-Cheney crime family. It's never. There is nothing that can be done. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There really is nothing that can be done to reestablish the rule of law such as it was before Bush and Cheney, where it concerns our relations with the Muslim world. And I hate to use that term because it makes it sound like there's a Muslim world out there. No, well, there isn't. Our relationship with so-called non-state actors, our relationship with countries that may or may not be Muslim, the damage is so deep and so wide. I don't know how we're ever going to get it back. I really don't. And CNN's Kira Phillips cites this misleading Bush report on Guantanamo. Here's what she said. When was this? Today. Or was it yesterday? It was Thursday. What's today? It's Friday. Pushing the Republican line on how dangerous it's going to be if we release Guantanamo prisoners. Kira Phillips, who I had decided I kind of liked. I'll have more of this when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Hide these men on a secret list. He was taking away with his life.
locked up in us he left. He called out to me. I heard the girls are sweeter there. Meet me at Guantanamo. We'll have a water board to share. Meet me at Guantanamo. Where the stubborn cells get around. Meet me, my friend, in Guantanamo.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-one past the hour. Sakira Phillips at CNN yesterday was pushing the Republican line, and thanks to Josh Epstein for sending this out, pushing the Republican line on how dangerous it would be to release Guantanamo prisoners. And she cited a Pentagon report that last week was completely and thoroughly debunked a week ago. This is Kira Phillips. Now, Kira does not write her own material. But Kira, the on-screen people, the news readers, the program hosts, and they are programs. They're not news reports. They're programs. They do have final say on what is handed them to read, unless that rule has been changed at CNN. That was always the rule when I worked there. The supervising producer, the senior editors, they would make decisions on the scripts that would be handed them to the anchors, who would look at them. And the anchors, if they saw something that they either knew was wrong or that they felt would embarrass them and, piss up their careers, they had final say. So I don't know if that's still true. Kira Phillips said the following, quote, "It's one of the biggest fears about releasing terror suspects from Gitmo that they'll go back to their alleged old ways." Alleged. New Pentagon figures actually say 61 released detainees have been linked to some kind of terror activity, up from 37 as of March 2008. About 520 Gitmo prisoners have been freed or transferred to other prisons around the world. Now, everything she just said is not true. Everything. Seton Hall professor Mark Denbo, who was on the Rachel Maddow show last week, said, quote, they did some research on the released prisoners. She said, "Our model is to simply look at what the government reports show and analyze them. The government, that's the Bush crime family, has given its 43rd attempt to describe the number of people who have left Guantanamo and returned to the battlefield. 41 times they've done it orally, as they had this last time, and their numbers have changed. 20, 12, 7, 5, 2, 25, a few, a couple, 29, 12, 24. Every time the number has been different. In fact, every time they give a number, they don't identify a date, a place, a time, a name, or an incident to support the claim." And then Denbo goes on to describe how three of the former detainees included in one of those 43 reports, three of them were described as having, quote, "returned to the battlefield," end quote, because they were in a documentary about Guantanamo. Five more who were included as having returned to the battlefield because their lawyer wrote a letter to the editor about Guantanamo, and two who had never been in Guantanamo. So Denbo, in this report, concludes, quote, "So in fact, the number of people who would meet anyone's definition of returning to a battlefield is tiny, and the numbers they have given are simply incoherent." But there you have CNN's Kira Phillips, who apparently is just pleased as punch to push the Bush crime family Republican Party line that closing Guantanamo is going to be just too dangerous. But, you know, you have to wonder, is she going to be honest enough to follow up that report from yesterday with the actual investigation of the claims. The information is available to her. It's available to the producer of her show. It's available to the supervising producer who covers two or three shows during the day. It's available to the senior editors. It's available to anybody at CNN who has the goddamn journalistic integrity to check it out. And it's available to her. Do you suppose, since she didn't do it today, but do you suppose Monday, Kira Phillips is going to come on the air? When did she come on? At noon? And say, hey, listen, that report I gave last Thursday, oops. No, she's not. And you know she's not. And I know she's not. So you have a template being put together here by this corrupt news media. And the template is going to be, it's a one-size-fits-all. It's a template, for Christ's sake, that will say anything that happens, anything, anywhere on earth, there will be an attempt to link the person suspected of doing it or the persons of having been released from Guantanamo. Now, does that call into question the Bush policy to begin with? It should, if we lived in a logical world. Does it mean that Barack Obama is aiding terrorism to the Republicans? Of course. But this is what's going to happen. It's coming as surely as Kira Phillips has a nice contract at CNN. We'll be right back.
And them that was caught in a cover are all rich and free, but they chained my mind to an endless tomb when they took my only son from me. I know it's true, oh so true, 'cause I saw it.
The Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
It's about 25 before the hour. All right. The Wall Street Journal is insisting that Barack Obama is leaving the door open for what they call a Jack Bauer exception to his torture ban. I guess it references the Fox program 24, which I've never seen. But apparently Jack Bauer is allowed to torture people on 24, and it is so realistic that a clown like Bill O'Reilly thinks that it actually happens. I don't know. I guess I've been watching too much Keith Olbermann. But as you know, yesterday Obama signed an executive order banning the use of torture, period, in all military and CIA interrogations of suspected terrorists. And the order specifically revoked those phony-ass memos written by the criminals in the Bush crime family who had law degrees that justified the use of torture on detainees. That is allegedly what gave Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and the rest of these bastards cover, you see. Today, I'm telling you, it's just beginning. Today, the Wall Street Journal, on the editorial page, and the editorial page of the journal is chock-a-block with neocons if you go back over the past two or three years and read some of the editorials, you'll vomit blood. I'm telling you, these people are Nazis of the highest order. They have nothing to do, believe it or not, with the rest of the editorial staff, the news reporting staff, or the front page staff, so-called. The editorial page of the Wall Street Journal is Nazi land. They editorialize that Obama, quote, wants to have it both ways on torture, end quote. Wants to have it both ways. The page went on to say he will ban it, but simultaneously carve out legal loopholes for coercive techniques to be used in an emergency. Now, this is the Wall Street Journal. When actual torture has been going on, did these sons of bitches ever say a word? Did they ever suggest that George Bush and Dick Cheney were guilty of torture? 3, 2, 1, no! The thrust of what the Wall Street Journal editorial page is saying is that Obama's order allows room for what might be called the Jack Bauer exception. It creates a committee. This is from thinkprogress.org, by the way. It creates a committee to study whether the field manual techniques are too limiting, quote, when employed by departments or agencies outside the military, end quote. Now, the Attorney General, the Defense Secretary, the Director of National Intelligence designate, Dennis Blair, will report back and offer additional or different guidance for other departments or agencies. There. You see, that now, the Wall Street Journal is on that like a duck on a June bug. You see, well, there you go. There you go. The special task force is going to grant freedom to squeeze information out of terrorists by ripping their eyes out or stomping on their feet or breaking their testicles or waterboarding them. Right, boys? Now, despite what the Wall Street Journal is saying on the editorial page, Obama made it clear yesterday that the era of coercive interrogations had come to an end. Speaking to the State Department, he said firmly, I can say without exception, without equivocation, that the United States will not torture. Now, this apparently is what, and I'm going to cut this corrupt, filthy media an awful lot of slack. Perhaps it's because they are so used to hearing exception and equivocation from the Bush crime family for the past 8 years that they have been so brain-addled, the mainstream media itself, they couldn't find their ass with both hands. There's no way that they could do that. So they're continuing in the same vein of the way they would have liked to report if they were honest on Bush. But we're not allowed to. Not allowed to. Other news organizations, LA Times, Washington Post, both noted that Obama, quote, appeared to leave an opening for the CIA to again have expanded authority, end quote. Obama administration officials instead insisted that the commission set to review interrogation and detention policies was not a loophole to allow the use of torture. This is what they're saying. Quote, senior Obama administration official, quote, this is not a secret annex that allows us to bring the enhanced interrogation techniques back. It's not. To the Washington Post, the senior official said, quote, we're not talking about different techniques, end quote. It's not going to stop. You see, we don't elect the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. We don't elect a piece of human waste like Rush Limbaugh or this filthy, creepy little Sean Hannity. These people don't get elected. Kira Phillips was not elected to be the noon to three newsreader or program host on CNN. So it appears that the cooperation that is absolutely necessary, the cooperation to work on the truth, is not going to come. I watched Charlie Gibson tonight, along with Brian Williams, and Charlie Gibson, with this look of incredulity on his face, that you know, here this guy got out of Guantanamo and reports are he's back doing terror stuff somewhere. He, again, Charlie Gibson, citing from the same kind of garbage that's been totally debunked. They're not going to let up. They are not going to let up. So what does it mean? It means that there was an effort to completely corporatize this country, and they almost pulled it off. They've probably done about 80% of it. But here comes Barack Obama reversing stuff left and right. Jesus Christ, he hasn't been here a week. I'm doing this directive. I'm doing that executive order saying no, taking off the gag rule about abortion services or condoms, saying it's okay for stem cell research for government money. Oh my God. So the attack has begun. And all of a sudden, isn't it amazing? Is it not amazing to the point where, again, you just want to stab something into your own thigh? Isn't it amazing how all of a sudden these worms and weasels and bastards that infect mainstream media, all of a sudden they're having no problem using the T word, torture. Whereas for 8 goddamn years of the Bush crime family, the little rat bastards could never say the word.
Enhanced interrogation, stringent techniques.
All of a sudden, you see? Now, you would think that with their newfound freedom, these scum-sucking mainstream media people, you'd think with their newfound freedom, they would take a look back at the corruption they have flooded this country with for the past 8 years with their so-called news reports and say something like, hey, you know what? We're starting new here at CNN, too. MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, New York Times, LA Times. We're going to start new also. Of course we knew it was torture. Of course we should have labeled it as such. Of course we knew they were liars. Of course we should have said that rather than telling people like Paul Krugman he could not use the word liar in a personal column. Of course we knew all this. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to take a look back and say, yeah, they were torturing and we knew about it and we didn't say a word. You know why we didn't say a word? Because we, the New York Times, when we said a word, we were threatened with a lawsuit. But that's not what they're going to do. Now that Dick Cheney and George Bush and all these neocon bastards are out of town, these fascists are out of town, all of a sudden, you see, oh, well, we're going to use the word torture. Oh, yeah. Now, why is that? Is it because they were afraid of Dick Cheney and George Bush, or was it because they quietly supported the programs? Is that too easy of a question? So here we are. And be prepared to hear the torture word just all over the place all of a sudden. And isn't it amazing how for 8 years, did you ever hear the torture word? Oh, maybe it slipped through once or twice, but you know what I'm saying. Did you ever hear of any study that said the people released from Guantanamo were going back to their home countries and taking a crash course on how to really be a terrorist? Did you hear any of those stories? No, God damn it, you didn't. But now, all of a sudden, you do. Why, ask yourself, is that? No, it's going to be a rough ride. All the talk about, you know, change this and restoring America's moral center and ethical conduct. And boy, we're glad the bastards are out of town. As far as mainstream media is concerned, no, I don't think so.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show only on Nova M Radio.
Ten before the hour from Prairie 2, our economics advisor, under the subject of why Cheney scowls more these days. Hey, Mike, the Treasury Secretary nominee, Tim Geithner, said today in a written response to a Senate committee question that the president believes, President Obama believes, China has been manipulating its currency. Okay, water's wet. Obama has said this already during the campaign. The reason this is a big deal now is that he now holds the nuclear command codes. Nobody in the Bush crime family has ever uttered anything remotely like this about China out loud without peeing their pants. Not that China would likely try to nuke us, despite their senior officials periodically threatening that they would. What really scared the Republicans is that China could put us back to a pre-industrial economy in a heartbeat. The good news is that the soon-to-be Secretary of Treasury, Geithner, is a fluent Chinese speaker, and his boss isn't an idiot. We must disengage from the Chinese economy, no matter how painful the transition. The truth is that China is very unstable. This makes them dangerous, and at the same time, they will negotiate if approached correctly. Obama and his people have the brains and the steel to do it, but the outcome is by no means certain. This is not an abstract problem of diplomacy. This will affect everybody, no matter how it goes. Worst case scenario, imagine empty Walmarts. Remember how Bush's people scared you with terrorism? The China thing has the real potential to be far worse than any nightmare scenario the Bush crime family could come up with. You see, the neocons thought they could take over the United States and the world by making us dependent on free trade for everything. But all they've done is make us an unstable, mess of everything. This is tied directly to the banking crisis, the war in the Middle East, and everything else. This wasn't the result of incompetence or greed in the simple sense, but rather the grand plan for a new American century, PNAC. Remember them? They envisioned unlimited power and wealth for themselves, but this plan was so incompetently executed that it could end civilization as we know it. That is why Dick Cheney scowled all through Obama swearing in. Everything he's done, going all the way back to the Nixon administration, has come to naught. It has made him rich, but his power is gone. And with no pardon for his minion Scooter, he could still go to prison. What did Puck say about the web? The web they weave. Somebody send me that quote, will you, from Midsummer Night's Dream? The web that they weave people to deceive or whatever. So I remember months ago, and I took a real email beating for this. It didn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything now. But I made the half-assed suggestion, let McCain, this is before he picked the hoe from Wasilla, let McCain have it because it's going to be awful. I'm just kidding. It was just a nightmare scenario. Let McCain have it. But the point was a decent, intelligent, smart human being like Barack Obama, who's going to be struggling just to keep his head above water. The attack on him, 12 years, actually more than that, 28 years. Yeah, going all the way back to 1980. There has been a concerted effort orchestrated by mainstream media, by corporate America, and by the Republican Party, and not a few Democrats, to end this experiment that the framers put together and replace it with a kind of top-down corporatism where the wealthy would be fabulously wealthy and everybody else would be struggling. We could fight for the crumbs. It would be a constant, unending struggle. Deconstruct everything that was done during the FDR years. Make it economic, survival of the fittest. Economic, what do you call that, Kathy? Darwinism. And whoever died. We're overpopulated anyway. So for 28 years, that has been the plan. Now, a lot of people say, well, Malloy, you know, get a hold of yourself. That's still the plan. Barack Obama is just the latest cog. He's just the latest bright, shining star that is going to take the country one more step into corporatism. Well, if that were the case, why is everybody fighting him? Why is everybody? And all of a sudden, everybody is. And you don't have to worry about the attacks from the left. Of course, that's going to happen. A lot of folks on the left are disgruntled. What does gruntled mean? Disgruntled, and are voicing that disgruntlement. But corporate America and mainstream media are going after him like I've never seen anything like this. They didn't go after Clinton like this. Or did they? Maybe they did because of his gaze in the military thing. But they sure didn't go after Bush. Everybody knew that Bush was just a piece of human waste. They knew it. But here's Barack Obama, and I think one of the reasons is he's bright. He's an intellectual. And if there's anything that is more hated in this country, especially by mainstream media, than an intellectual, I don't know what it would be. Maybe poets. They don't like poets either. So they're going after him. How dare you be smarter than me? I'm just waiting for somebody to say something like, hey, know your place, boy. Huh? Aren't you? Don't you think maybe some of that is going on in their minds? I know that's going on in the minds of the white Southern Republicans. We talked about this that last night. Hey, boy, what you doing? Now, here, we let you play a little bit, but it's time to step down now, boy. Eh? But wouldn't you think, given where we are, given where the framers wanted us to go, given the direction of the country for a long time before the Republicans took over, wouldn't you think, here comes Malloy's naive statement number 6 for tonight, wouldn't you think that there would be some support for this 47-year-old man who's trying to do the impossible? Wouldn't you think the mainstream media would try to support him? Yeah, I know. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Okay, thanks, everybody. It wasn't even Shakespeare or Midsummer Night's Dream. It was Sir Walter Scott. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Well, it just seemed to me that it was Puck. But what Puck said was, what fools these mortals be. My bad. It's just too much garbage inside my head, and none of it has been filed in the proper files, and... But anyway, thanks to everybody who pointed out Sir Walter Scott. I had no idea. I thought surely that was Puck. All right. The other night we asked Steve, the banker, to call in. I don't know if he's called in yet. Has Steve the banker called in? Could this be him coming? It may be, because we wanted to. He's a guy that we've talked with several times, who worked in the, especially in the credit card. Can explain to us about this massive credit card debacle that's coming. Well, I don't see him yet, so we'll wait a couple of minutes. Another thing that Obama did today, and this also is part of the reason why there's such a massive right-wing attack on him right now. 36 years after Roe v. Wade. Wasn't yesterday the 36th anniversary? Weren't there a lot of people in D.C. who just want to stop the baby killing, so-called, demonstrating out in front of the Supreme Court? I think so. So that was yesterday. Today, Barack Obama took action to end one of Bush's worst policies, and that was the global gag rule. Under that rule, funding would be canceled for many overseas health clinics, which forced them to cut their staff and limit services and in some instances close down entirely. If even a hint of talk about abortion in any way, shape, or form, and in some instances extended to the use of condoms. This was a Bush, wasn't it a Bush era rule based on some, a conference that was held in Mexico City. Don't they call it the Mexico City rule or something? But the policy restricted funds, which meant that a lot of people in the so-called third world, and they're third world because of exploitation and colonialism, but, you know, let's go with the flow here. So many third world countries, so-called, clinics that depend on overseas donations from money flowing into non-government organizations in these countries, and the money would be cut off if they had the absolute temerity to tell their own people in their own culture that abortion was an option in certain circumstances, or in any circumstance. Not only did the Bush crime family Republicans decide that women in this country should not have the right to privacy to make these kinds of decisions, they wanted to make sure that women nowhere on earth would have the right to make these decisions or have that kind of privacy. It's unbelievable. So today that global so-called gag rule ended. It ended. And according to a press release from National Abortion Rights League, President Obama's decision to reverse the policy and release funds for family planning overseas will enable women worldwide to have access to the comprehensive health care they deserve and need, including birth control. And then the plea is made to notify Obama, the White House, in support of this, because as this press release says, unfortunately, anti-choice groups are bombarding the White House with messages and running vicious ads on TV and online that distort the truth about a woman's right to privacy. That's why after you've thanked our new president, we need your help to spread the word to your friends and family. Every day that goes by this new president reverses policies that never should have been in place to begin with, whether they are about torture or saying to foreign countries, we're not going to be charitable and fund your birth control or your clinics where women – in so many countries in the world, women are not second-class citizens. They're not even classed. Where women can get medical care. Women, medical care? Oh, get real. So we fund that. But if the whisper of abortion was mentioned, whether it was a result of rape from a marauding band of the enemy of the state, that happened to be a different tribe from your tribe, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No matter what the circumstance was. So Barack Obama saying, no, we're not going to do that anymore. No, we're not going to torture anymore. No, we're not going to have rendition anymore. Yes, we are going to have stem cell research funded by the government if somebody applies for a grant and the circumstances are right or however it's worded. No, we are not going to keep Bush and Cheney and Pappy Bush's record secret forever and then turn it over to the twins, the Bush twins. No, we're not going to do that. All these things that he's doing is the reason there is such a backlash going on right now in this whorish, no offense to sex workers, mainstream media that has spent 8 years, no, 16, no, 20, no, 28 years covering up the truth from the American people, constantly and continually covering the truth, lying, distorting, any kind of propaganda, So many of these mainstream media news outlets became nothing more than Pravda, TASS, the New China News Agency. You know, whatever the government said, here's the handout and I'll go read it on the air. Yes, sir. So all of a sudden, the word torture has an entirely new cachet, doesn't it? Oh, torture this, torture that, torture here, torture there. Well, is Barack Obama going to leave the door open for torture? Well, he's going to allow him to torture. Well, no, I don't know about torture. What about torture? Torture, 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 torture. Where were you sons of bitches for 8 years when the policies were actually put in place? Oh, can't release the prisoner. Can't release him. Can't release him. We've tortured him. We've denied them any kind of human rights. We've tortured. We've beat them. We've peed on their holy Korans. We've done all these things. Can't release him. Can't release him because you know why? They'll come over here and get us. Oh, that Barack Obama. That Barack Obama. He's closing Guantanamo. That Barack Obama. And for 8 years, not a word. Not a word. And they knew. Not a word on the editorial pages. Not a word would pass between the sacred lips of Tim Russert or Charlie Gibson or any of these people. Not a word. And when the one guy, Dan Rather, tried to say the truth about this filthy George Bush, look what happened to him. What did it take? An email campaign by the fanatical right in this country, and CBS folded like a goddamn circus tent 2 days after everyone's gone home. Thud. Goodbye, Dan. But now? Oh, well, Barack Obama's going to close the torture center. He's going to close. He's going to, oh, well, that means they're going to come and get us. 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 It's going to be awful. Gird yourself. Arm yourself with something. I'm not necessarily saying weapons. Just arm yourself. Man. So what's going to happen? You know, I'll be curious to see what, with the stroke of his pen, what President Obama does on Monday to make the rabid right, which is just about 90% of mainstream media, and John Boehner, this freak, this Republican House leader, John Boehner, who continues to stand there and whine and pee all over his pants leg, or he wants you to think he's doing that, about this economic recovery plan. What does Boehner want?
I'd like to see tax cuts made permanent, for the rich people.
And what does John Cornyn want? Well, we need to check a little bit further. You know, John Cornyn is the senator from Halliburton. And here these people are. Oh, fiscal responsibility. Really, guys? Really? You're talking about... Oh, please.
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Right after the break at the bottom of the hour, we'll have part one of this Bush review. It was really funny today. I've already decided, or I had decided, not to mention the pig man in any context ever again, except maybe to slam him. I'm not going. If people send me stuff where he made these outrageous quotes, like he did the other day about he hopes Obama fails, I'm just going to ignore him because I can't do that anymore. I really can't. I can't have any part of my consciousness focused on this sick son of a bitch. I've spent way too much time in the past 20 years paying attention to what this slobbery bastard had to say. I told Kathy the other day, I've never said this before, but I hope I'm alive when this guy dies. I really do. He's so morbidly overweight. He smokes. He eats his Viagra and goes down to the Dominican Republic to bugger little boys. I just hope that I'm around when he croaks. I don't know why, but I do. Well, anyway, Obama warned Republicans today to quit listening to Limbaugh if they want to get along with Democrats. He did in the New York Post. Of course, that's a Murdoch rag. So you have to take everything you read in the New York Post with about 7 truckloads of salt, so to speak. Here's what the Post says. President Obama warned Republicans on Capitol Hill today that they need to quit listening to Radio King Rush Limbaugh if they want to get along with Democrats in the new administration. He told GOP leaders, whom he had invited to the White House to discuss his stimulus package, quote, you can't just listen to Rush Limbaugh and get things done, end quote. You see how it's a little bit different there? He didn't tell them to stop listening. He didn't say it at all. He said, you can't just listen to Rush Limbaugh and get things done. But the headline is, Obama, quit listening to Rush Limbaugh if you want to get things done. Obama, colon. That's how the New York Post, this toilet paper rag, reports it, you see? One White House official confirmed the comment, you can't just listen to Rush Limbaugh and get things done. One White House official confirmed that comment, but said he was simply trying to make a larger point about bipartisan efforts. The official said, quote, there are big things that unify Republicans and Democrats. We shouldn't let partisan politics derail what are very important things that need to get done, end quote. Now, that wasn't the only jab, apparently, at Republicans today, and I heard this one while discussing the stimulus package with some of these disgusting Republicans like John Boehner and who's this guy, Eric Cantor from Virginia. They were voicing, well, you know, this and you know that. And Obama said, I won, so I'll trump you on that. Huh? Oh, the response was to the objection by Eric Cantor, Republican of Virginia, to Obama's proposal to increase benefits for low-income workers who don't owe federal income taxes. Yeah, screw low-income workers, right, Eric? Huh? Screw them. They don't matter. And if somebody gets in the Oval Office who wants to do something positive about helping, you know, the bootstrap thing, hey, Eric? Now, you don't want that, do you, you neocon bastard? Oh, man. So you see how it's going to go. You know, I got a bunch of emails right after the election, where it was clear that, you know, way back on November 5th. Well, what are you going to talk about now, Malloy? Are you kidding me? As long as mainstream media is controlled by corporatists, as long as talk radio is in the hands of these evil sons of bitches in whose hands it is in, as long as there is a Republican Party that should be put to death, the Republican Party should be ended. It should be stopped because it has done nothing but corrupt, hurt, destroy, attempt to destroy America. The Republican Party should be chopped up in little pieces and fed to the sharks. So as long as those three horrific conditions exist, oh, please. There's plenty of things for normal people to talk about. You know, somebody sent me an email and said, you know, I've got this problem because ever since the election, I've got family and friends who, you know, keep shrieking at me because I supported Obama. They keep shrieking at me. Yeah, but, you know, quit saying bad things about George W. Bush. He kept us safe for 7 years. And my emailer wanted to know, you know, do you have a zinger that I can say? And I said, yeah, just say back to them, his job was to keep us safe for 8. Good God. There are going to be people. Well, there were how many million? 56 million people who voted for McCain and Palin? Kurt in San Diego writes, Mike, you were touching on these the hypocrisy of these Republicans like Boehner and Cornyn. Funny you brought that up because during the break today, the AP audio on the news break had Boehner expressing his doubts about the $800 billion bailout proposal of Obama's because of what it would do to the kids and grandkids, and they would be paying for this. Like he cares all of a sudden about the children. Can you believe this? Unblanking believable. Kurt in San Diego. All right, we'll be back after the break, and well, you may want to hear this, you may not, but it's George W. Bush. This is part one of kicking his ass out of town. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
No time left for.
It's about 26 before the hour. All right, truth seekers, here you go. Fasten your seatbelts. Here is the first segment of George W. Bush in his own words. Goodbye, you son of a bitch.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator. I certainly never dreamt that I'd be the president.
It's a huge honor to be the greatest president of the greatest country in the world.
I mentioned early on that I recognize there are hurdles and we're going to achieve those hurdles. There's no doubt in my mind we will.
Now, I absolutely believe that America is going to make some right choices in life.
Why is it that people send ugly things to the mail?
I believe that people who are going to commit crime shouldn't have guns.
Families is where our nation finds hope, where wings take dream.
I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees.
Somebody wakes up the next morning, their home's gone, and not only that, they ended up out in somewhere else, you know? Good news is those people found love.
Governments don't love. Governments can dispense law and justice, but not love.
I wish I knew the law that I could sign that would make people love one another.
And the goals for this country are a compassionate American for every single citizen.
Make sure our neighbors are loved just like they'd be like to be loved themselves.
And we must love a neighbor just like we'd like to love themselves.
But we've got great hearts and great compassion about our fellow human men and women.
Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
There are people who walk across the street to a neighbor and say, I'd like to just love you for a second.
Find the children of those who are incarcerated and love them.
One way you can help is to find a child who needs somebody older in their life and say, I love you.
By making the right choices, we can make the right choice for our future.
We don't have a fear of state religion. That's not what we're going for. We don't want for one governmental religion. Government will never, you know, say this is the religion. We're free from society for religion.
So prescription drugs will be an integral part of the Medicare plan.
I don't think we need to be subliminal about the differences between our views on prescription drugs. You know, the idea of putting subliminal messages in the ads is ridiculous.
We have an advantage. Here in America, we can feed ourselves.
This Thanksgiving, we're grateful for a harvest big enough to feed us all. And for neighbors in need to the strangers they've never met.
A fella runs some cows on our country.
I love to go walking out there, seeing the cows. Occasionally they talk to me. See the cows lying down? It's a pretty good sign. It means they're pretty healthy.
It is wrong for the Congress to discriminate against Mexican trucks.
Es un enorme placer estar en España.
Bienvenidos. So many distinguished Hispanic Americans in the Jardín de Rosas, mi casa es su casa.
Those who enter the country illegally violate the law.
We will apply the immigration laws. We're saying welcome to America. Why don't you share information with us?
I'm Jorge, too. That means George.
If somebody who is here working wants to be a citizen, they can get in line like those who have been working to become a citizenship in a legal manner.
I love the story of Pedro Pan.
I believe that people whose skins aren't necessarily, you know, are a different color than white can self-govern.
In my speech to the nation.
I asked Americans to give 4,000 hours over the next, the rest of your life. I said 4,000 hours.
Now, one of the things we looked for over there in Africa was whether or not countries could absorb money.
They don't know what they're talking about because history takes a long time for it to reach. And there's no such thing as short-term history.
We tend to forget. I mean, ours is a society where things are like instant, so therefore history almost is like so far back it doesn't count.
I'm a little frightened about getting on the computer.
I don't email, however. And there's a reason. I don't
don't want you reading my personal stuff.
You're one of these computer literate type people.
And so I have a duty to protect the executive branch from legislative encroachment. I mean, for example, when the GAO demands documents from us, we're not going to give them to them.
I like to work outdoors. It keeps my mind whole.
I glance at the headlines just to kind of get a flavor for what's moving. Rarely read the stories. Best way to get the news is from objective sources. And most objective sources I have are people on my staff who tell me what's happening in the world.
Very comfortable in the job because I've got great advice and advisors to whom I get good advice from great advisors to whom I listen.
FEMA directors working 24 hours a day. And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
Vice President, I've got great confidence in the Vice President, doing a heck of a good job. And that matter will run its course, the Halliburton investigation.
In the corporate world, sometimes things aren't exactly black and white when it comes to accounting procedures.
Well, Enron went bust. And if they came to this administration looking for help, they didn't find any.
There was no malfeasance, no attempt to hide anything. It was just a accounting firm making a decision as to how to account for a complex transaction.
There was a honest difference of opinion as to how to account for a complicated transaction.
We've got a lot of problems. But I'm going to tell you something about this country. In my mind, there is no doubt that we won't solve these problems.
I mean, one has a stronger hand when there's more people playing your same cards.
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
I could have passed a background check on the standards applied when my dad was president of the United States, a 15-year period.
Nothing like having a few friends over for a cocktail or two.
There's all kinds of ways to treat substance. I understand that.
Too much poppy cultivation in Afghanistan.
We got to work together to eradicate poppy. The country is quite famous for growing pomegranates.
Yes.
Or honeydew melons. The United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
Virgin Atlantic flew a 747 fueled partly by coconuts.
I don't worry about anything here in Washington, D.C.
There's a lot of noise in Washington. There's a lot of, just a lot of noise.
I believe that it's very important for people to listen. Therefore, I'm a person who does a lot of my work in private.
Part of the Homeland Defense is respond to uncorroborated evidence.
People are being investigated. It doesn't make sense for us to let them know who they are.
Our plan is working. We're going to make elections.
And we're guarding the civil liberties by having the folks at NASA monitor the program.
I've got an eclectic reading list. I was looking for a book to read, and Laura said you ought to try Camus. I also read three Shakespeare's.
Teach me to read because I have learning problems.
You just shuffle kids through. Then you wake up at the high school level and find out that the literacy level of our children are appalling.
The message of our parents must be unequivocal.
I want to thank you for the importance that you've shown for education.
Laura and I's spirits are uplifted any time we go to a school that's working.
The kids were coming out of the school system who were literate, and it wasn't right.
Literacy in math, the ability to read and write.
We're capable of being wise about the money.
If you watch your money grow, you know it compounds over time, which means money grows and grows bigger and bigger and bigger.
Now, if you're a worker who earns $35 a year, by the time you retired, your personal account would grow to $250,000. That's compounding rate of interest.
It's like earning capital. I earned capital in the campaign, political capital, and now I intend to spend it. It is my style. That's what happened in after the 2000 election. I earned some capital. I've earned capital in this election, and I'm going to spend it.
Got to make sure our ag economy stays strong and healthy.
You're working hard to put food on your family.
People are putting bread on their families.
Charitable giving is dropping off. In the aftermath of successful welfare reform, we must turn to the problems of the working poor. These problems seem immune to our affluence.
Listen, this nation is committed to dealing with poverty. First, let me make it very clear. Poor people aren't necessarily killers. Just because you happen to be not rich doesn't mean you're willing to kill.
We're now determining the size and the shape of a package. It's not if we have a package, it's how big will the package be. We have the tax relief plan, which is important for a fiscal stimulus. I mean, it's incredibly positive news if you're worried about a federal government.
And so I've submitted a plan that not only reduces the rate at the bottom, but raises the top rate as well.
If you're paying taxes, you're going to have tax relief. The government ought not to pay favorites. Seems to make a fair way to me to make policy.
I spend a lot of time on Social Security. I enjoy it. I guess it's the mother in me.
We propose a plan that takes the solving the issue about solvency. So if you're a younger worker out there, you're now looking at more people retiring,
who will be living longer, and those you have to keep paying more monthly benefits over time, who've been promised greater monthly benefits.
Two folks work. They both contribute to the Social Security system. If one dies early, the remaining spouse gets to choose her benefits or his benefits, which are ever greater, but not both.
So if you're a younger worker out there, you're now looking at more people retiring who will be living longer, and those you have to keep paying more monthly benefits over time, who've been promised greater monthly benefits.
I think younger workers, first of all, younger workers have been promised benefits to government that promises that had been promised benefits that we can't keep. That's just the way it is.
Tax cuts matter. You see, when somebody builds a new building, somebody's got to come and build the building. And when the building expanded, it prevented additional opportunities for people to work. New opportunity employments. If jobs are the most important part of one of my jobs, how do we encourage people to hire more people?
Encourage people to invest in plant and equipment. That will help those who are the immediate employer, but also those who manufacture the equipment or construct the plant will also have employment.
If you're worried about people finding work, you better increase demand. If you're trying to create new jobs. In other words, if one worker can do more work, you got to create the need for more work.
I think actually the spending in the war might help with jobs. I think this economy is down because we built too many houses.
These are the actual results for the fiscal year that ended February the 30th.
Next year I'm going to have to work on my math.
Any collective approach is one based upon sound science and not based upon science.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
What happens in those forests, because of lousy federal policy, is they're not harvested.
We can build roads of ice that literally melt away when summer comes.
It is real. It is not an imagination. We will require all power plants to meet clean air standards in order to reduce emissions of sulfur dioxide, mercury, and carbon monoxide.
We want to work cooperatively with these countries in their efforts to reduce greenhouse emissions.
The globe is warming.
You know, we live in a global world, and that creates uncertainty in some. I understand that.
America is in the lead when it comes to global climate change, and we'll stay that way.
Our country must continue to meet the grave dangers of biotechnology.
We need to be lighter and quicker and more facile.
This is an issue that speaks to morality and science and the juxtaposition of the both.
Best to stand on principle, and that is taxpayers' money for the use of experimentation that would destroy life is a principle that violates something I violates a principle of mine.
My administration has developed a sand national plan to help meet our energy needs this year.
Our most abundant energy source is coal. Yet coal also prevents an environmental challenge. There's gas in our hemisphere, and the fundamental question is, where is it going to come from? I'd like it to be American gas.
That one of these days we're going to have brand new types of cars, and we'll be more better at cleaning our air. Technology is going to change the way we live for the good for the environment. That's why I proposed a hydrogen-generated automobile.
Battery technologies that will enable you to drive a plug-in hybrid battery.
Imagine one day being able to drive your car with hydrogen as its power source, and water driblets as the output of your engine. Hydrogen is the input, water is the output, and in the meantime, your car is going.
You need to continue spending money on research and development to make corn economic.
I like the idea of people growing corn that gets converted into energy. The more corn there is, the more we have to eat. The more corn there is, the more energy there is.
Every time we use a homegrown fuel, we'll be going to helping our farmers to burn corn. There's a lot of gas reserves around the world. Gas can only be transported by ship, though, when you liquefy it, when you put it in solid form.
We need an energy bill that encourages consumption.
I believe oil prices are going up because the demand for oil outstrips the supply for oil. Oil's going up because we use too much oil. That's why the price of oil is going up.
The dream in solar energy is to develop technology so that someday your house is like a little generating plant. It's possible to capture the sun, feed it into your house.
We're working with our partners to expand prevention efforts that emphasize abstinence, being faithful in marriage, and using condoms correctly.
I sometimes get encapsulated in a bubble.
Every day's been pretty joyous. In other words, my spirits have never been down. I have been sad, but the spirits are up.
Oh, God. Now you know what waterboarding is like. Don't go away. Please don't go. Don't go.
lights. The party's over. They say that all good things must end. Call it a night. The party's over. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again. What a crazy, crazy party.
Oh, my goodness. 7 and a half before the hour. Now, you have another one of these coming up at the bottom of the hour coming here.
Can you believe it?
What's the second collection?
The second one, the first one was just sort of miscellaneous crap from right. the last day. The second one is all focused on his foreign policy.
Foreign policy. This is from Don in Baltimore, who writes, "Hello, Mike. The honeymoon is over already. The media and right-wing media vultures, after 8 years of being the willing accomplices of the Bush crime family, are now free to circle around Obama like vultures over a bleeding, wounded animal, or like sharks swimming around and chasing after any blood trails in the water." Jesus, Don. But you're right. "We know what they are about. They will slice and dice Obama up and down the street because their rich masters and the Republicans' rich masters are one and the same. Obama cannot be successful. They want another Jimmy Carter presidency, and they would do anything to make Obama do what they want done, or they will wreck his presidency and take back the White House again. The game never stops. We must not think for 1 minute that they will all go away and let Obama fix the disasters they made. They will fight on, and we must not let them. We have to keep pushing back. It never ends. The fight never ends." Don in Baltimore. And this is from John, who writes, "Mike, I normally listen to your show by podcast on my drive to work into Birmingham, Alabama. I normally never listen to local radio stations for obvious reasons. Yesterday morning, my brother called me as I was leaving for work to tell me a big breaking sports news story. The University of Alabama had just hired an assistant coach from Auburn. This hiring was big news in Alabama, so I decided to listen to the local sports talk show. As I tuned to the station, I initially thought I had accidentally tuned into one of the many wingnut radio shows since they were not talking sports. The two sports commentators were going ballistic over the fact that Obama had not used a Bible to take the oath of office the second time of the swearing in. They were talking conspiracy theories, antichrist, and a whole host of other ignorant comments that one hears spewing from the mouths of rednecks here in the South. This is what they feel is relevant to talk about endlessly. They ignore the serious issues, which you addressed in your blog. If I did not work with well-informed people on a daily basis, I would have left this place a long time ago. I am one of five progressive physicians working in a six-man practice. Bush swore on a Bible to protect the Constitution, and he has urinated all over it. By the way, in Greece 2 weeks ago, the bishop of the Orthodox Church urged politicians to quit using the Bible to take their oaths, since it does not seem to make a difference with regard to their corruption and their lying. Thanks. Your show is like water that one finds on an oasis in the desert." Thanks, John. It's very kind. Yeah, I've noticed that, too, especially here in the South. You, if there's one thing these sports radio talk jocks hate about themselves, is the fact that they're so damn just complete ignorant jerkwads. They really are just totally ignorant. All they talk about is, you know, people slamming against each other on a football field or whatever the hell they talk about. The more violent the sport, the more, and they don't focus on the sport. They focus on the personalities in the sport. And there is a big difference between the two. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that John, Dr. John got to listen to a couple of these clowns. I'm trying to think of a better. I can't use son of a bitch anymore. I use that all the time. A couple of these, and most of them are so grossly obese. Their bellies hang over their belts. Have you ever noticed that about these sports talk guys? Huh? You try to get one of them to do 3 chin-ups or 5 push-ups, they'd have a heart attack, wouldn't they? Huh?
"Well, my heart can't take it, man. But God damn it, we're going to go get some barbecue and then come back and talk about University of Alabama football team, all right?"
All right, break time. We shall return after the break at the top of the hour. What are we going to do? I've got a couple more emails here, and then we're going to take a couple of phone calls if you can get in. Oh, wait a minute. Is anybody there? Maybe nobody's there. Oh, there's Steve. All right, Steve, stay on the line. We'll talk to Steve as soon as we come back after the talk of the hour. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back, 7 past the hour. The Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. The other night we got an email from Steve in Framingham, Mass. Our banker, listener, and I sent him an email back and asked him to call in. And he's calling in now. Steve, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
I'm all right. You mentioned something in your email, and I forget what it was that made me write back to you and say, hey, you know, call in tomorrow because we're about out of time.
I think you were talking about the overall economy somewhat and, again, what was causing all of the, you know, the problems that we were having.
Yeah, and I know one of the things I mentioned was the abyss that no one has peered into yet where it concerns credit card debt that you and I have talked about a little bit.
Yeah, that was one of the things, right?
Yeah. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Because
a little bit, because you know my specialty is in another part of it, but actually that is tied to it, because what a lot of people are doing, of course, now are you know and have been for the last couple of years, have been living off of their credit cards,
mm-hmm.
and when you buy necessities like gasoline and food on with credit. You're actually not only buying the product and paying the tax, you're also paying interest on necessities.
Right, right.
And so the cost of now your necessity, like food, is now much, much, much higher.
Mm-hmm. In other words, if you're not paying off those balances every month, and you
which
have
no one is now.
Yeah, and you have a 9% credit card, then you're paying 9% more for everything.
And yeah, and 9%, boy, that's a rarity.
yeah.
Actually, one of my own credit cards, I was in shock when I opened up just about 2 weeks ago, and I found out. Holding on to your chair, it was 34%.
What?
That's right.
How?
I'm in banking and I don't know how.
did you
call? Well, how the answer to that is deregulation. That it overall goes back to really just a few things. It goes back to the to whoever you want to go back to, but it really goes back to the Reagan time.
Right.
And deregulation and no matter whose deregulation you want to, you know, squawk about, it goes back to that where mm-hmm. the banks were allowed and are allowed today to do whatever they want without letting anybody know.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, I was pretty shocked. And luckily I was able to take it and burn it immediately
mm-hmm.
and because
mm-hmm.
There was no balance on it. But that's not true of everybody, and it's not true of all my cards.
What is what is your take right now? Obama is getting an awful lot of resistance, and some of it might be valid if the argument is about where this $1 trillion is going to go.
Well, yeah, none of it's valid because
none of it's coming, valid.
Well, I have to back up what you said before. Republicans should disappear off the planet.
Right.
And the reason why they should is because we've gone through 30 some odd years of their philosophy, which is completely empty. It is not a philosophy. FDR, you know, set up a world for us before, during, and after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think of a guy who's on the level of Einstein. This guy got us through a depression.
Right.
He got people working. Did it solve the universe? No. Then World War II came and got us through that by and large and helped create, before he died in, I think it's April of 45, just before the end of World War II, he sets up, you know, the GI Bill, which mm-hmm. my father, you know, and 10 million other men
right.
come back to. 10 million men. And women go through the GI Bill. They get educated. My father went to NYU, and instead of becoming a farmer, became a businessman and owned 10 stores in New York City and gave us a fantastic life in northern New Jersey. And that's what that entire generation built from that genius. And which is really, in a way, Jeffersonian, which is spreading the wealth of the nation as wide and as deep as you possibly can. Meanwhile, the rich, you know, the rich were rich. You know, there weren't too many people falling off of a cliff.
Isn't it true that corporate America was looking at that influx of soldiers returning from World War II and hated the GI Bill? They wanted the cheap labor. They didn't want people to go to school. They wanted people to come back and go to work for whatever the minimum wage was back then. What was it, 75 cents an hour?
Yeah.
They did not want what FDR – that's one of the reasons they hated the GI Bill, because it took so many people, mostly men, out of the workforce and put them in university.
Yeah. I mean, it was really – it's just a genius move. And – look at the world that we had. And the other thing that I wanted you to think about was the very unique spot economically that the United States was in, and that you and I and all of that two or three generations grew up with, and that we got used to, was that the United States alone was something like 70% of the manufacturing in the free world.
Right.
And so for our first 20, 30, 40 years on this planet, we had a monopoly on manufacturing, and we didn't have to worry about
everything else had been bombed and blown up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
and but we didn't have to worry about making the best product. But then in the late 60s and in 73, things started to change, and we don't have enough time to go through all of that, but things started to change, which was Germany, Japan, etc. We were building them up for, you know, geopolitical reasons, but we were building them up, and the rest of the world was catching up slowly but surely. And so that unique situation, that once-in-a-lifetime situation or millennium situation, started to go back to normal, which was competition in manufacturing. And so did our Detroit and all the and the three companies, or at the time four companies, respond to it? No, they did not. After 73, they should have. We talked about that in high school in 73.
Mm-hmm.
And but they had a second chance in 79. And did they respond? No, they did not again. And they had their chance again. And again, I was in college at that time. Did we talk about it? Yes, we did. They did nothing. And we talked about the difference between the American and Japanese models of building product
right,
and
right.
competition
well,
and long-term investment.
Yeah, obviously those days are gone. And
we have to live with that.
Yeah, and I'm beginning to understand that unless there is a radical restructuring of the so-called global economy, it's not going to go back unless Barack Obama or somebody in this country starts, and I hate to say this, but starts imposing massive tariffs on, you know, we get into a trade war is what I'm saying. That's what it's going to take.
I understand what you're saying, but we don't have to go there.
We don't?
There is the answer. I did say it once before. There is the answer. It's so simple.
All right, well, hold on a second. Hold on a second, because we got to take a break. Let me put you on hold. We'll come back. Okay. When we do come back, I want to hear what that answer is, and we'll have about, you know, like 3 or 4 minutes for you to, because I would like to know. It seems to me that the only answer is complete breakdown of any kind of economic international economic agreements, and it becomes every country for itself again, which usually results in chaos and can result in war. And one of the results of that, I think, would be to pull back our manufacturing base back into this country where it belongs. I don't know. What do I know? We'll be right back.
Ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
21 past the hour. We're talking with Steve from Framingham, Massachusetts, who listens to the program quite a bit, occasionally calls in with his take. He's in the finance and banking business. Now, Steve, you got a solution. I say trade war, tariffs, complete upheaval, creative destruction, call it what you want, in order to get things back to the point where we have a manufacturing base in this country. You know what really freaks me out? There's two medications I take. Lipitor, I take it as kind of a prophylactic against all kinds of stuff. And then I take lisinopril because without it, my blood pressure goes off the chart. I find out the other day in the business section of New York Times that most of the drugs, what was the number? 70-80% of the ingredients that go into the pharmaceuticals that we use in this country come from China or India. And there was a time in my lifetime when the figure was reversed. 80 or 90% of every drug made in America or used by Americans was made here. I mean, so what is your solution if it's not creative destruction?
God, I hope it's not creative destruction.
Well, okay.
No, but it's definitely a choice. I see not exactly what we had before, because obviously the world is different and there is competition, and I hope we don't have to go through another world war, just to have 80% of manufacturing again. Because really, there'll be 100% of nothing after the next
war. No, not necessarily a physical war like World War II. I'm talking by creative destruction. I mean a blowing up.
The economic system.
Yeah, metaphorically speaking, any trade agreements, all this globalization crap, NAFTA, all these trade agreements, and which might result, unless cooler heads prevail, might result in a shooting war.
Well, but that would lead history. You know, look. People are people, and that would lead to, you know, physical violence. But, I mean, just look what happened over Ukraine and the gas pipeline and all that. I mean, in 1 week, I mean, you know, you're getting people that are getting ready to go to war.
All right, I've added the irrational part. You tell me the rational part.
And the rational part, I mean, again, it goes down to basics. But where we are now today, it's called total investment. And, of course, the Republicans are going to hate every part of it. Because, again, it is going to be done correctly. Mm-hmm. It will be total investment in 21st century products,
technology,
education, training, everything that we did back in the FDR's time, mm-hmm. in a 21st century way, bigger, better, smarter, so that you have the 21st century products and education and companies that are just getting started, like they were just getting started after World War II. Hundreds, thousands of small companies that became bigger companies during our lifetime. That is what happens. And that is the world that we would create for ourselves and for the kids that are coming up now and their kids. Mm-hmm. And that is the world that needs to be invested. Will there be some economic displacement? Yes, of course. There's going to be give and take. It's like, you know, it's like a living mechanism, living organism, mm-hmm. where the blood is going to flow back and forth. You know, I mean, how do you keep? I mean, in my mind, and I've said this before, Asia is the center of the universe for the economy, for the world economy. Now, there's no changing that.
Right.
It's how we fit in and how we can make ourselves as important as we can possibly be by focusing in on that 21st century technology. That is America's strength, is our colleges, our universities,
and
it's going to
take an enormous amount of money. So you're,
yes,
saying the Republicans are not going to see it that way.
That's what, exactly. And let them kick, let them scream. They are wrong again, Boehner or Boehner, whatever his name is. I mean, you know. But that's just it. Of course they want to slow it up. Every time they want to slow it up, you know that we're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
That tax break stuff is baloney. The investment,
right,
part of it, I want every dime into it. And, you know, I've said before, I'm against every single bailout, every single one. The,
sure,
one I'm for is investment in the now and the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want every dime to go to. And you and I will have a better world.
Well, that makes great sense, Steve. And I appreciate you your calling in here to.
No problem. I love you.
All right, man. Stay in touch. All right. Seriously, stay in touch. We enjoy hearing from you. All right. Take care. Take care. Yeah. And John Boehner stands there. What did he say the other day when talking about the $850 billion? Oh, my God. And you just want to smack him. Am I allowed to say that? You just want to smack him across his face. You really do. In metaphorically speaking, of course. And then he comes right back and says, "Well, what we Republicans believe is in permanent tax cuts." And like Steve pointed out, like Prairie 2 has pointed out, like you know and I know, because we may be, you know, borderline economically ignorant, but not so much anymore. We know that just tax cuts don't mean squat. All right, Raising Brain on Foreign Policy, the final moron sounds on this program forever, coming up right after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. You got the wrong people. It's about 25 before the hour. All right, as promised or threatened, take your pick. The last time we're going to play Moron Sounds from George W. Bush ever.
Overseas, there's a lot going on.
I'm plenty capable of conducting foreign policy for the United States in a way that reflects positively on my nation.
It was not always a given that the United States and America would have a close relationship.
Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. You've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
The role of the National Security Advisor to help unstick things that may get stuck is an unsticker.
We cannot let terrorists and rogue nations hold this nation hostile or hold our allies hostile.
We must not and will not allow the world's worst leaders to hold the United States and our friends and allies blackmail. We've got a lot of work to do with the North Korean. He expects to be treated as a responsible nation.
Rest in peace on the Korean Peninsula.
We share a vision of two states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and in security.
We're committed to two states, Israel and Palestine, living peacefully together.
My dream is that there be a Palestinian state living side by side in peace with Iraq.
There needs to be a focused coalition effort in the region against peace.
The unrest in the Middle East creates unrest throughout the region.
It's in the Gulf Coast countries' interest that there be a stable Iran. Iran that is capable of rejecting Iranian influence.
Prime Minister and I discussed the humanitarian needs. We understand the fright that can come when you're worried about a rocket landing on top of your home.
The representatives of the government of the State of Israel and the Palestinian Liberation Organization represented respectively Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and President Mahmoud Abbas.
I will express to President Putin that Russia is a part of Europe.
I looked a man in the eye. I was able to get a sense of his soul.
I have discussed with Vladimir Putin some of his decisions. I will remind him that if he intends to continue to look west, we in the West believe in Western values.
I still think Russia understands that it's in her interest to be west.
Most of our weapons are de-alerted. Our mission is to make sure we never need them on each other.
We need to get rid of the ABM treaty so we can research and development weapon systems that will meet the true threat. Let's come together.
Something I offered last year as a promise is today a commitment to research, develop, and deploy a defense against ballistic missiles.
I'm interested in having an arsenal at my disposal, but I'm committed to reducing the amount of nuclear weaponry.
We've just seen the first war of the 21st century, and I'm confident there will be universal approval of the actions this government takes.
I never wanted to be a war president.
Little did I realize we'd get the trifecta.
It is the calling of our time to rid the world of terror. That's our calling. It's the calling of the 21st century. And it's a calling that we will not tire for. It's a calling that we will keep in our minds.
They're flat evil. And as a nation of good folks, we're going to hunt them down.
I gave the people in Afghanistan a choice, but they didn't listen. And now they're paying a price. If you cough him up and his people today, we reconsider what we're doing to your country.
This is good versus evil. These are evildoers.
We're going to find those who evildoers.
There's evil in the world, but we can overcome evil. We're good. The Taliban regime, those who house the evildoers, has harnessed international aid workers. We're dealing with centuries and years of hatred.
You know what they hate? They hate the idea that somebody can go buy a home.
People who hate America, people that have been trained to disassemble, that means not tell the truth.
The second pillar of peace and security in our world is the willingness of free nations to retain aggression and evil by force.
The best way to defeat the totalitarian of hate is with an ideology of hate.
We don't fight a religion, we fight evil. Our struggle is against evil people that claim they're religious but are not. We must collectively get after those who kill in the name of some kind of false religion.
This crusade. God is not neutral.
Everybody can make a contribution in the war against the evildoers. It is not only important for the homeland security of America that we succeed. It is equally as important for generations of Americans who have yet to be born. If they house terrorists, they're terrorists. I mean, I can't make it any more clearly to other nations around the world. I want to reiterate what I said the other day. Our policy is to deny sanctuary to terrorists, and we will be very actively in doing that. They misunderstood the fact that we love a neighbor in need. They underestimated the compassion of our country. I think they misunderestimated the will and determination of the commander-in-chief, too. Perhaps the most important lesson that I learned in Vietnam is that you cannot fight a guerrilla war with conventional forces. You know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
It's in the Gulf Coast countries' interest that there be a stable Iran. Iran that is capable of rejecting Iranian influence.
We're on a scavenger hunt for terror.
I couldn't imagine somebody like Osama bin Laden understanding the joy of Hanukkah.
Oh, we'll get bin Laden.
There's an old poster out west, as I recall, that said, wanted, dead or alive.
I know the governor likes to hunt rabbits. Sometimes those rabbits think they can hide from the governor, but eventually he smokes them out and gets them, and that's exactly what's happening to Mr. Bin Laden.
We don't know whether he's in a cave with the door shut or a cave with the door open.
To smoke them out of their caves. Mr. Bin Laden is one of the worst. We'll smoke him out of his cave, and we'll get him.
I do not believe anyone could have prevented the horror of September the 11th.
In the, what's called the PDB, there was a warning about Bin Laden's desires on America. Frankly, I didn't think that was anything new.
So I don't know where he is. Nor do, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him. I truly am not that concerned about him.
Gosh, I don't think I ever said I'm not worried about Osama Bin Laden. That's kind of one of those exaggerations.
They didn't connect the dots. How come the dots weren't connected? It is inexcusable to say, on the one hand, connect the dots and not give us a chance to do so. We've connected the dots, or trying to connect the dots.
The Iraqi regime is a threat to any American and to threats who are friends of America.
There's no doubt his hatred is mainly directed at us. After all, this is the guy that tried to kill my dad.
I heard somebody say, now, where's Mandela?
Well, Mandela's dead because Saddam Hussein killed all the Mandelas.
The world has waited a long time for Mr. Saddam Hussein to disarm. He'll say, oh, I'm disarming, after he said he has no arms.
I'm honored to shake the hand of a brave Iraqi citizen who had his hand cut off by Saddam Hussein.
After the bombing, most Iraqis saw what the perpetuators of this attack were trying to do.
After Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council, the world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
It has developed weapons of mass death.
Weapons of mass production.
You said we're headed to war in Iraq. I don't know why you say that. I hope we're not headed to war in Iraq. I'm the person who gets to decide, not you.
Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists.
No, we've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
Including members of Al-Qaeda. The war on terror involves Saddam Hussein because of the nature of Saddam Hussein and his willingness to terrorize himself.
1 year ago today, the time for excuse-making has come to an end.
A peace, free, and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
Our mission in Iraq is a vital mission. The mission is one that will be, that we obviously couldn't complete if we didn't fulfill our goals.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States have prevailed.
Pulling the troops out would send a terrible signal to the enemy. You know, the United States is weak.
During a time of war, you've got to do everything you can, and you strengthen your weaknesses. And so we'll continue to enhance protection at our borders and nuclear power plants.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
We still at war. It's in our country's interest to find those who would do harm to us and get them out of harm's way.
It wasn't all that long ago that we started military operations. We've been there, how many days? Are you counting the days since we've been there? Because I'm not.
Fully understand those who say you can't win this thing militarily. That's exactly what the United States military says, that you can't win this military.
To win this war against freedom,
we must deal with threats before they fully materialize through death on our own soils.
I hear there's rumors on the internets that we're going to have a draft. We're not going to have a draft, period.
I made it very plain. We will not have an all-volunteer army. And yet this week, we will have an all-volunteer army.
I think we are welcomed, but it was not a peaceful welcome.
They're obviously killing Americans, but they're killing a lot more Iraqis.
And when Americans learn to speak a language, learn to speak Arabic, those in the Arabic region will say, gosh, America's interested in us. They care enough to learn how we speak.
Under the dictator, prisons like Abu Ghraib were symbols of death and torture.
Prime Minister brought up the Abu Ghraib situation.
Detainees at Abu Ghraib will be relocated.
But I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
And we're a country of deep compassion. We care. One of the great things about America, one of the beauties of our country, is that when we see a young, innocent child blown up by an IED, we cry.
I understand the anguish that some feel about the death that takes place. I grieve for every death.
I know what it means to hug mothers and wives.
Wars are not a time of joy. These aren't joyous times.
The Iraqis are fully staffed, and they got their team in there. But give my chance a plan to work.
And victory is a country that where the Saddamists and the terrorists can't unwind the democracy.
We've got a strategy, and I'm going to keep talking about the strategy. It'll yield to victories.
I know there's a lot of speculation that these reports in Washington mean there's going to be some kind of graceful exit out of Iraq. We're going to stay in Iraq to get the job done.
I feel I owe it to the families to be as, you know, to be in solidarity as best as I can with them. And I think, you know, playing golf during a war, it just sends the wrong signal.
There have been disappointments. Abu Ghraib obviously was a huge disappointment during the presidency. Not having weapons of mass destruction was a significant disappointment. I don't know if you want to call those mistakes or not, but they were, things didn't go according to plan, let's put it that way.
There's no doubt in my mind when history was written, the final page will say victory was achieved by the United States of America for the good of the world.
Fool me once, shame on you. If you fool me, you can't get fooled again.
Just unbelievable. You know, that's the first time I've heard that. Kathy's been the one putting it together. But I sit and listen to this stuff, as I just did, and I think, where did this occur? Was this in a movie I saw? Where did all this happen? What country had this kind of a complete, yeah, I'm going to say it, ass as a leader? So long. Doesn't Peter B. Collins use that as his sign-off song? Oh, man. I listen to this stuff, and I cannot believe, and that's only one millionth of what this moron said over the past 8 years that reflected his policies that have just shredded this country. Oh, my God. I think everybody needs to be working very diligently on the 2010 election, the congressional. As you know, every seat in the House would be up and a third of the Senate. The woman who was appointed to take Hillary Clinton's seat today should be one of the first to go. There's so many of these blue dog Democrats around. I don't even like to call them blue dog Democrats. They are Republicans. Did you see the swearing in of, or not swearing in, but the announcement that Governor David Patterson made from Albany, New York today? I could not believe, standing immediately to Patterson's right, over his right shoulder, which would have been to the left as you're looking at the screen, was D'Amato, the former Republican senator. You know, I think to myself, what is he doing there? And the answer, of course, if you look at Hillary Clinton's substitute, well, that's what she is. She hadn't won anything. She was a member of Congress, I guess. If you look at her record, we have another right winger. There's so many Democrats that are right wingers. And I hope the process of picking them off can begin fairly quickly. Barack Obama is going to set the tone and tempo of this. He's already made it clear, I think, on a couple of issues that just rattles the cages of these filthy Republicans. Stem cell research, the right for a woman to have privacy where it concerns a decision whether or not to terminate a pregnancy. ending torture. These are things that the right-wing Christians in this country just, hey, listen, we got to torture. Hey, listen, women should shut up and stay in the shadows. Hey, listen, you know, just on and on. Stem cell research. Oh, no, if Jesus wants you to have some sort of crippling disease, you got to stand out of the way of Jesus. You know, all of this stuff. This is part and parcel of the right-wing agenda. And don't even get me started on the issue of gays. So there will be a strong effort on the part of right-wingers, whether they claim to be Democrats. And I think we're going to see a lot of right-wingers switch parties to become Democrats, hoping to fool the voting public, which in most instances in this country is not all that difficult to do. So it's going to take diligence and hard work and a determination that we just can't let it go. I mean, we just can't let it go. But in listening to those montages of George W. Bush, you know, I sit here and think, I can't believe that really happened to the United States of America. I just can't believe it. And every one of those little tiny clips, I can almost tell you exactly where I was, who I was working for at the time. In Bush's reign, I have worked for four different radio outlets, WLS, IE America, Air America, and Nova M. And I remember as clearly, and I guess that's because I'm in the business, but as clearly as if it were yesterday, when those sound bites were cut, or if they weren't cut as sound bites at the time, where I heard him say those ridiculous half-assed statements about whatever he was talking about. It's astonishing. I hope we can recover. I realize Barack Obama is not a liberal. He just simply isn't. Anyone who believed that during the campaign, and you know, the crazy people in the McCain campaign, which would be, well, McCain, and the hoe from Wasilla, excuse me, they tried to convince the mouth breathers that Barack Obama is a socialist. And that's exactly what the scum on Fox, the Fox conglomeration of halfwits is trying to do now, too. Socialist, socialist, socialist. Jesus God, if socialism is government financing of, oh, I don't know, pick something, the banking industry, then it was George W. Bush. But we're going to have a mixed economy. That means entrepreneurial capitalism, and it also means democratic socialism. It's got to happen. The nationalization, or this is going to keep happening until the point where the American public and this country can't take it anymore. Look what they've done to us. Look at the weakened position we're in. Oh, okay. All right, listen, have a good weekend, okay? Take care. Do keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.